Precious Lord, we pray that you would surround us today, holding us close to you and helping us to remember and also to see the way forward, we pray, forgiving us for our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.
There was a news announcement this week that came out from the Adventist. Oh, yeah, it's right here. News Network. This is a picture of an Adventist church in Egypt. It says underneath, the local Muslims lock hands and surround the Seventh-day Adventist church in Heliopolis to protect the property on Sunday, August 18, as approximately 300 protesters march by. As you know, there's been some very serious demonstrations going on in Egypt, and there's been a number of deaths. There's been some risk to some of our property. This also said that on August 21, that 6 adults, 2 children were evacuated, and on the 16th from the Adventist Church's Nile Union Academy in Cairo ahead of nearby protest marches. This is where Jermaine had gone to school, where her parents live and work. And so it's caught my attention. The evacuations of the volunteers were precautionary, it goes on to say. But, you know, there's a risk. But I thought it was tremendous seeing that picture there from before, that the neighbors of our academy, the neighbors of our church there, the Muslims, are locking hands to keep the protesters away from our church property. That says a tremendous amount about the witness that our people are doing there in that community. So God bless them. We want to keep them in our prayers this week and as things begin to unfold. I had no intention at all of using slides this week, but an influential person in my life says, no, you should use slides, even though I didn't talk about what I was going to say. They just did. So I thought, you know, we've been showing on Wednesday night slides of Patmos. I'd gotten together some, I think, very nice shots of the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, where, of course, John, the beloved, was given the visions of, that he wrote down as the book of Revelation for us. And so I thought, well, using that as a background, since we're starting there, I'd share those with you, because I know not everyone can make it to those Wednesday night meetings. So shots tonight from Patmos, and there's one slide that's one from one other island nearby. If you don't know where Patmos is, looking at that picture, you have Athens there marked in light blue, and the circle with the little arrow marks where Patmos is, which is over really closer to Turkey than it is to Greece, but it's still a Greek island. And looking at that shot of it, the satellite shot of it, it looks like a seahorse, doesn't it, the way it's shaped? Little nose coming out there. It's Scala in the center is its port. And just above Scala, up on a hillside, is a cave that's been identified for centuries as the cave in which John wrote the book of Revelation. And there's a picture of the seaport with a tour ship coming in as a little port call. That's what it looks like today. And then up on that hillside is that cave. They've built a little church over the top of it, which they refer to as the Cave of the Apocalypse. And I'd like to start with a blessing, a little promise for each one of us. Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. That's good news for me. And blessed are those who hear it, which is for you, and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So besides a normal Sabbath blessing, we've got this going for us, because we begin with Revelation 21, verse 1, where it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Over time, the Lord has developed a fondness for new beginnings and new starts. It's not that this world started out so bad. In fact, it started out quite wonderfully. It says in Genesis 2, beginning in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Since that time, since those very first days, there have been many firsts. And in a human life, there are many first days. There's the first day of a baby's new life, something which we all celebrate. A little while after that, there is a first day of school. Do you remember your first day of kindergarten well? I have very strong memories of my first day of kindergarten because my kindergarten teacher just was not a nice person at all. But you know, even with that, what was more traumatic for me than my own first day of school was the first day I sent my own children off to kindergarten and school. I don't know if any of you have similar feelings about that, but man, it just seemed like life was coming to a quick end. Years go by, times forgotten, then there are days of watching your children take their first dates, which are softened by the memory of your own. It's their first day of college, which was very similar to the sending of the kindergarten thing. There are first days of a new job. There's the first day of marriage. Notice I'm not asking for anyone to share memories of these first days. I'd be afraid to ask for that one, for better or for worse. Something that's always been really kind of stressful for my family. First day in a new church. My Uncle Gorman, who ended up becoming a Seventh-day Adventist evangelist, in his 20s was still out in the world. His wife was a church member, and she was always after him beginning to come to church. One day, he finally relented, comes walking in. He says, I came in and sat down and just couldn't wait to get up and go outside again so I could get a cigarette. But he sat there amongst the men and their ties and the ladies in their nice dresses. And as he looked around, he said, I felt like the only sinner there. And he came up with a phrase that I really liked. He said, I felt like a lion in a den of Daniels. I always liked that. I don't know what it's like for you, you know, if you go around or if you move to go and start in a brand new church or a new thing. But for me, it's quite a different experience for me and for my family. You know, I'm looking out at people who are staring at me and looking at my family, and we're all total strangers. But we've been told that we're going to be getting along together. It's so awkward. You know, it is so awkward. But in time, through shared joys, shared grief, a bond grows. A bond that's designed by our Creator to hold us together and to see us through all the way to the kingdom of the Son that He loves. And it just gets sweeter with time. And those lead us to a first day in heaven. It says in Revelation 7, beginning in verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And they all call out, amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know what the great tribulation is, yeah? It's this life. It's this life. All of heaven looks at what we go through and have great compassion for what it is to be human. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them, and they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Have you ever given much thought to the first day of heaven? Maybe some of you think of it often. What will it be that first day in heaven? The scriptures tell us that the Father himself is going to prepare a banquet for us. From the Father's hand, a banquet for all of us. And some several really wonderful things happen in that. From Isaiah 25, starting verse 6, it says, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations." What is that? What is the shroud that enfolds all peoples? It's death. It's death. He's going to destroy death right there. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Have you ever done anything in your life that you're ashamed of? Maybe it's just a couple of us. It's hard to get past, isn't it? It's hard to get past. People here generally are pretty willing to forgive, but they never really forget. So it's a little bit harder to get past. But this promise right here tells us that God himself is going to remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. What a special gift to have that which we are most ashamed of gone forever. No more to bear, no more to be remembered. In that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." I don't believe I have any comment that I could possibly add to that. After we have settled into our condominium or flat in the holy city that's been prepared for us by Christ, and after the 1,000 years and this earth has been made new, there's going to be given to us a place in the country, a home for us out in the country besides our home that we have in the New Jerusalem. It tells us in the book of Micah, in Micah 4, verse 4, it says, "Everyone will sit under their own vine, under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken." How nice. How very, very nice. Before these first days in heaven come to us, many things will need to be gone through. Many things will transpire here on earth. And there are a few things that have to be made sure of. These things that need to be made sure of, says to have a first day in heaven, these are the things that must be made sure of. It tells us, Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, he said in verse 5, "Jesus answered, 'Very truly I tell you, everyone who was ever born on the face of the earth is going to enter the kingdom of God.'" Is that what it says? That's not what it says. I know a lot of people preach that. But Jesus, who would know, said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Baptism. Baptism is our new birth. We are born again through it into Christ, having been buried with him under the water. And as we come up, we celebrate, we look forward to the resurrection that will surely come, that we'll have with him as well. And in this, it tells us, through baptism, we are born in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38, it says, Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and maybe you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Yeah. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Paul, speaking to the same thing, stresses what comes next. He says in Romans 6, verse 1, What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How then can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Amen. A little earlier this week, I was awakened by what I heard Cynthia and Jim say was a thunderstorm that happened right over their house, but I'm pretty sure it was right over my house. Laying there listening to the rain, though, at night, a poem came to mind, one of my favorite old poems. I saw God wash the world last night with his sweet showers on high. And then when the morning came, I saw that he had hung it out to dry. He washed each tiny blade of grass and every trembling tree. He flung his showers against the hillside and he swept the billowing sea. The rose is a cleaner white, the red rose more red, since God washed every fragrant face and put them all to bed. There's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along the way, but is a cleaner bird and bee than it was yesterday. I saw God wash the world last night. Oh, that he had washed me as clean of all my dust and dirt as that old white birch tree. It is in the waters of baptism that we contact the blood of Christ that washes away all our sin. Doesn't leave one trace of it. A person comes up out of that water as if they had never sinned in their entire life. It's an absolute clean start, a day of new beginnings. That's a real first day. It is our entry into the kingdom of heaven, which begins for us that day. We're not yet delivered, but we are citizens of the kingdom from that day forward. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 19, Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So we're here, but we're there too. Our citizenship is in the New Jerusalem. Verse 20, Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That brings us to the other thing that must be made sure of for us to be able to have that first day in a new home in heaven. We see it in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Paul says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The key word here then for us is persevere. To persevere. It's not just the start that matters, but it's the finish as well. James 1 verse 12 said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. If you've never been baptized by immersion, been buried with Christ, had your sins washed away, then I'd urge you not to put that off. Talk to me after, call me later. Let's make arrangements, but get that taken care of. If you've been baptized, but since then you've wandered a bit off the path, your experience with Christ has not so much been one of persevering. Well, that voice that you've been hearing, the one that's been calling you back, the one that got you in here today, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, calling to you to reclaim what you've lost. And it's so easily reclaimable. It's reclaimable right now, right here today. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And just maybe he'll forgive you for your sins. I love this text. I come back to it over and over because I don't want you to ever forget it. I hope it's burned into your brain. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's no reason for you to leave this room carrying even 1 ounce of a load of guilt on your shoulders. Just leave it here. Leave it with the Lord. And if for whatever reason you'd like to, I'd like to invite you, it's not just for those first two things, but if you would like to come up here to join me, to take a hand of fellowship with Christ and lay your life open to the Lord, to lay your heart open to Christ for help, for hope, or for healing, I'd like you to come up here and join with me and let's take hands and pray together and let the Lord help us like that. He offers it. If you'd like to take advantage of it, I invite you to please come.